It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, I can tell you now, a lot of kids excited to be getting off on summer holidays at the end of this week. Of course, on Friday, a lot of them off for 3 months and 2 months, or depending on if it's first or primary school or secondary school. God, remember the days. Nowadays, you're happy to get 2 weeks off work. But anyway, it's not a good time to be off because a lot of families are planning their holidays, and the rift between Aer Lingus management and IALPA has even widened now, with the airline accusing the pilots' union of blackmail and the union responding with claims of greed. Both parties have also claimed they stand for or stand ready for talks, while suggesting that the other side is the sole stumbling block to meaningful negotiations. Now, in case, by the way, you have got a holiday booked, the airline has cancelled close to 250 flights over a 5-day period from next Wednesday, including over, that's this Wednesday, should I say, including over 100 on Saturday. Aer Lingus said it was left with no choice after pilots announced an 8-hour all-out strike from 5 a.m. on Saturday, June the 29th. So what does it mean for you? We're going to ask you, by the way, do you support the strike? Now, there's lots of rumours and stories going around about how much pilots earn. So just to clarify, there are 199 pilots currently working for Aer Lingus, just over one quarter of an overall package. Basic pay, variable pay, pension contribution, etc., is €287,000. The next 12% are on an overall package of €215,000. The next 19.5% are on an overall package of €170,000. And the remaining 57% are on an overall package of in and around €200,000. So by any stretch of the imagination, they're not on bad money. They claim they haven't had a rise since 2019, which is slightly incorrect to some degree, because many of them would have a contract where they get incremental increases every single year depending on how long they work for the airline. But they haven't had a rise, inverted commas, since before 2019. But do you feel sorry for them? Mr. Moriarty said that IALPA demands would see the top earning pilots package increase to $349,000 per year. Be all right, I wouldn't say no to it myself. I'd take their hand off with that kind of money. But do you support the strikers? People say, look, we should support strikers. You're like, it's in everybody's interest because we all deserve a pay rise. So should we support the pilots and their strike with Aer Lingus? After all, Aer Lingus are making huge profits. Let me know what you think. The number is 085-100-2255. That's 085-100-2255. You can WhatsApp that number. You can text it. Do whatever you like with it, all right? 085-100-2255. We want to get your thoughts. Firstly, my good friend Owen Curry, who's Ireland's leading travel commentator, joins me on the line. Owen, hi, how are you?
Oh, good morning from, I'm sleepy in Seattle here, it's 4 a.m.
I know.
The west coast of America.
I felt bad when we called you and you told me it was 2 o'clock in the morning in Seattle, but you're willing to stay up and be on with me, so I really, really appreciate it. Owen, it's a tough time for Aer Lingus, it's a tough time for the pilots, but even tougher for all those 25,000 passengers that are going to be badly affected at the weekend.
Yes, Niall, let's start with the cancellations. We have cancellations starting Wednesday or through to Sunday, and they were as a result of a work to rule. Pilots aren't available for extra duties. That means that not small things, you know, obviously a pilot goes sick or a plane goes tech, pilot goes out of hours, you need to get called somebody in at short notice. Very well flagged, they've not made themselves available for that. But an awful lot of other small things not happening. We had a power outage in Manchester yesterday. There was the electronic load sheet couldn't be done. It came in by paper. The pilot said, I can't take a paper load sheet. And the aircraft went home with no passengers, back to Dublin with no passengers.
Yeah.
So it's a general spirit of non-cooperation. And then we have a short stoppage, an 8-hour stoppage next Saturday, and that's caused the cancellation of another 100 flights. If your flight is cancelled, the airline's going to be in touch. They have been managing it by asking people to book themselves, go in, manage my booking. If you've never done it, it's a bit daunting, but it works, and it is working very well.
So go on to the Aer Lingus website, go into Manage My Booking, and can you change your flight then on the Manage My Booking?
You change your flight, and if your flight costs more, which it does at this time of the year, summer flights cost a fortune, they will reimburse the difference.
Now, will they reimburse, or do you have to make a claim, or how does that work? You'll initially have to trump up the money, obviously, but they...
I am not absolutely sure if it's coming out of your account and coming back in again. That's a very good point. But that's their Their promise is they are reimbursing the difference. I would imagine that is really what their website is capable of managing, and I'm not sure what it's famous. It's a famously clunky website anyway, so it could well be that you have to pay and get it back. Now you have only do that if your flight has been cancelled. You will be getting notification that the flight's been cancelled. And some people are saying that the notification isn't coming in time. Their customer service are under siege, but they are going to help wherever they can. Let's say you've got weddings, you've got things you have to be at, your Taylor Swift concert or your match. The compensation that you get you can opt not to go on the flight and get the cost of it back. And under EU 261, the famous EU legislation that came in 2004, strikes used to be exempt from compensation. But case law, Niall, over the years has seen airlines having to pay compensation when there's a strike, even though it's the union causes the strike, not the airline. That varies from €250 up to €600. The €600 band would be if you do an arc from, let's say, Munich, Milan, Bordeaux, anywhere further than that, all of Spain, that's the compensation you're entitled to.
Okay, to clarify, you're only entitled to compensation for your flight. If you've booked, say you're going away for a weekend to London, right? You're not entitled to be compensated for your hotel if you've booked that separately yourself. That's up to you and your holiday insurance. Now, if you've only taken your holiday insurance after the strike was announced, you won't get a bean. But if you took it before the strike was announced, you might. That depends on the clauses, doesn't it?
Yeah, more or less. You are entitled to compensation of about €400. It wouldn't cover a lot.
No.
What you... your ordinary common or garden travel insurance, the one we all have for 12 months, it doesn't cover flight disruption. You have to pay. You have to look for that separately. It doesn't cost a lot. It costs about €8. But as you say, if you're looking for it now, it's the equivalent of looking for insurance when the riverbank is about to burst.
Yeah, they're not going to give it to you right now at this very moment in time. Okay, so the other thing as well is, what's the possibility of this being resolved before the weekend, before the chaos happens? Because there is going to be situations where people are going to arrive out of the airport, their flight hasn't been cancelled, all of a sudden the pilot calls in sick. That flight is now going to get cancelled because no one's going to replace them. So that could happen at the weekend. That's a possibility, I imagine. Those kind of things happening. I don't want to see the long queues that we seen last year. That was bedlam. Do you remember that madness? But what's the possibility of that kind of stuff happening at the weekend? Is that possible?
Quite high, because you've that sort of belligerence. First of all, the work to rule, and then there's that belligerence. There's different opinions floating around. The politicians have been sort of making a lot of noise and saying, and their real frustration is there's a whole set of checks and balances now to prevent this sort of thing happening. You have a pilot's pay commission within Aer Lingus, you have the WRC of the Labour Court. They went through all of that process and rejected the arbitration. They didn't just reject Aer Lingus's offer, but they rejected the arbitration as well. And it doesn't really matter. Like, people are saying, what's the public sympathy for someone who earns 250,000 more than the Taoiseach? They're not really interested in the public sympathy. They have the power to do it, and that's why they're doing it.
It does seem like a big demand, doesn't it? It seems like Aer Lingus said that they're looking for 24%, right? And obviously they've been offered 10%. They're not accepting that. And Aer Lingus said it is just not possible. They're not getting it. They said, we just cannot do that. So they seem to be at a stalemate.
Yeah, and Aer Lingus would be hiring 40 new pilots to fly their aircraft and their expansion plans. They're not going to get hired. So the people being hit are the pilots entering Aer Lingus, not the guys who've been there for years. You also have the famous Airbus 321 XLR, beautiful aircraft that can fly beyond Chicago. It's a single aisle that can fly beyond Chicago for the first time. Aer Lingus were the world launch customer for that. That's not going to happen now. The two aircraft are going to Iberia. So investment of about $500 million that was coming in for Aer Lingus this year from the parent group IAG, that's been stopped because of this dispute. I would be really hopeful. There's loads of opinion on this now, but I would be really hopeful that we get it resolved and quickly. The problem is there's a choreography to the talks. They'll all go in and they'll sort of say, that's outrageous. It's the worst thing. How dare you? And then after two or three days locked in a room with plates of sandwiches being sent in. They come to an agreement 4 a.m., usually the day of the strike. They start first at the workday, stop at just Saturday morning, 4 a.m. I'd love to see them all coming out, emerging, blinking.
But here's the thing, there's a bit of a poor mouth going on from the pilots and the suggestion that we haven't had a rise since 2019. Now, I know a pilot quite well, right? And, you know, he was saying to me that, well, okay, you mightn't have had a pay rise, inverted commas, but most pilots are on contract. And in their contracts, there's incremental rises or incremental increases every single year as part of their contract. So they do get increases every single year. So the idea that they haven't got more money each year since 2019 is not true. They are getting more money each year, but just not a rise, inverted commas.
I don't think, and not only that, but I don't think it's tremendously relevant. I think trying to reduce it to pay is missing the point completely. It's dizzying, the pay scales. There are 26 different pay scales. There's a whole Rubik's Cube of allowances. All of this stuff from the big strike in 1985, the 5-day strike 2003, the near miss in 2008, they're the legacy agreements between Aer Lingus and their pilots. Now, I think that Aer Lingus are saying that they'll give them more if it's cost neutral. So what they're looking for is hours back. They gave a lot of hours away to pilots just at the time of the pandemic there, reducing their work year, their amount of hours they fly in a year. And there's accruing, there's all sorts of other clauses in the accruing agreement from that time. So what Aer Lingus will say, Aer Lingus aren't short of pilots, they're short of pilot hours. So what Aer Lingus would say, we want some of the hours back and we'll give you more money. And of course, IALPA is saying, no, we don't want to give anything. We want the more money for nothing. We just want the money. Basically, Mark Tye said as much on radio. We just want a slice of that. Now, what will happen is when they're not calling each other names on the national airwaves and they're in a room, all of that deal will be done. It has to be. Every industrial relations situation gets negotiated out at the end. Yeah. They've achieved everything they have set out to do. They've scared the pants off the passengers. We have ruined weddings and dream trips to Disneyland.
This is what Donal Moriarty from Aer Lingus, he accused the pilots of seeking to blackmail the company by inflicting enormous pain on the company, but more importantly on the company's customers, to blackmail the customers into agreeing with them.
Yeah. And they've dominated the news agenda. So they've achieved as much as they can. Mark Tye would have been very critical of his predecessor, Evan Cullen, and said he wasn't tough enough at Aer Lingus down the years. Now he's sort of shown he's flexed his muscles. I expect a very careful choreography from the talks once they start. The real issue is the choreography of starting the talks. Very hard to know who's going to make that first leap and say, I'm going into talks. And both of the Aer Lingus are saying we're open for talks. And IALPA are saying we don't want preconditions. We not want talks without preconditions. And then that's the sort of thing happens in political circles.
Well, you get a big deal. It looks like a complete mess for the customers for Aer Lingus, and it couldn't come at a worse time as well when we're talking about the caps as well, all at the same
Everything
time.
Everything is full. You can't get a flight to Spain for anywhere for the next few weeks because Ryanair are absolutely full.
I was going to say that, and Michael O'Leary telling us all the flights will cost £1,000 each by the end of the year if we keep the caps. Anyway, but look, Owen, it's been nice talking to you. Enjoy. I know you're over there at a convention at the moment in Seattle. I'm jealous of you, by the way. Jealous that you're over there. But anyway, have a good time.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much indeed.
It'll be very interesting listening to what Boeing have to tell us, because if Aer Lingus have got problems, they're nothing compared with the problems.
Well, I did mention that I listened to the CEO of Boeing whining that he's only on $250 million a year. You know, but you're, who am I to complain? You know what I mean?
How can he make ends meet?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Owen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on the air. That's Owen Corry.
It's a pleasure now.
Owen's Ireland's lead travel commentator. So the bottom line is, by the way, if you are a passenger and you are affected, you can go onto the Aer Lingus website, manage my flights, try and shift your flight around if you can't. You can try and get your money back. Or if you don't need to go, you can probably get a refund. Let me go to Morris. Morris, hi, how are you?
God, Noel, it's a small world when you can talk to a man that's in Seattle. 8 hours away, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And he stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning just to talk to me. That's a nice guy. Morris, do you support the strike? Look, you know, a lot of people are saying there's a bit of greed going on here, you know?
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with you now. I know how hard the pilots were hit during COVID, and I have a neighbour who works in Aer Lingus.
We were all hit during COVID. That's not an excuse, Morris. We were all hit during COVID.
No, listen, all I'm going to say to you is those people were showing the door and said, you know, get something else to do. We've got no time for you. Go on and sign on the door. You were treated very harshly. And you know yourself, Barry Lang was a commercial pilot, and he went back on radio to earn a living. Am I right?
That's. I think he did, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Do you know where he went? He went to Ireland's Classic Kids Radio, where I work. That's where he went.
There you go, exactly. So there you go. That'll tell you what he had to do. Must be lucky he had the training to go and do that. But the pilots were given a really rough deal. Everybody got caught with all the expenses of higher electricity, higher gas, and they were on nothing. You know, they had to go with everything that we had to go with as well. And I think the companies didn't look after them well enough, and they were thrown to the wolves. And it's payback time.
It's payback time.
Goes out with this country.
But, and I'd understand if we're talking about people who are earning 50 grand a year, but we're not. We're talking about people, many of them, who earn, you know, between 200,000 and 300,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's not many of us go into a job now and go up into the air, and we're not guaranteed we're coming back down. But that's a big ask of everybody every day, and the passengers, you know.
But what would you do now if you were going up to Dublin Airport at the weekend and there was a, you know, a load of pilots standing there with, you know, picket signs? Would you pass the picket?
No, I wouldn't pass the picket because they have a right to strike together.
Even if you're booked to go on your holidays?
If I have insurance, I don't care. I never break a strike. People have the right to stand up for their rights and not be walked on. Don't be walked on by companies that are multinational and taking every penny of profit.
No, I understand the point you're making, but when you talk about passing a picket, I would agree if I believed the strike was fair. But if I don't believe, I'm not talking about this particular one, in fairness, but if I don't believe a strike is fair, I would pass a picket. Of course I would.
Did you hear of any pilot coming along during the COVID times looking for a handout? No, they've got ominous. But the companies didn't care about them. And now they're making massive profits and they want to use them and abuse them. Pay them the wages they're entitled to and made them feel worthy again.
But they are on good wages. And when you say the wages they're entitled to, they are on good money. You're making out that they're not on good money. They're entitled to a good wage and they get a good wage.
Yeah, and they deserve a rise when everything else is going up. And the rate of inflation didn't go with the wage increases.
I mean, I'd be honest with you. I'd rather be a pilot than a member of an Garda Síochána, and they're on 35 grand a year. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, I know it's a very responsible job. Yeah. You're responsible for the lives of 300 or 400, you know, people sitting behind you. I get that. But so are bus drivers, so are Lewis drivers. You know, it's a little bit more responsible because you're up in the air. But in saying that, now the Garda Síochána put their life, you know, at risk every single day of
every
the week.
Day.
Yeah, and they get 35 grand or 40 grand. Yeah, whatever. But they get 30 or 40 grand. You know, and yet here we have pilots that are on between 200,000 and 300,000 looking for 25%. They've been offered 10, but looking for 25% extra, 24% extra. And you know, people are going to go, oh, that's sad. I don't know.
All I'd say to you is you should always aim for what you want, higher than what you want, and then come down and meet people. But don't be treating people like a piece of shit in your shoe the way you were treated during the COVID emergency.
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi. How are you?
Thanks.
Stay there, Morris.
I'm fine. How are you?
God, Angela, there you go. Morris says, don't be treating people like shit. They were treated like shit during COVID. Mind you, many of us were treated like shit during COVID. You know,
Everyone was treated like shit during COVID. I mean, and like, as you said, the second he, you know, that Morris turns around and says, oh, you know, they didn't get a pay rise, they didn't get that, and yet they put their lives on the line for getting into a plane and flying up and they don't know if they get down. So do guards, so do prison officers, so do nurses and doctors with what they have, you know, to deal with inside in hospitals. And these pilots are looking for an increase of more than what a guard gets in a year.
Yeah. True.
You know,
if you're a top payer, you'll go from 287 to 349. So your increase is actually more than a guard gets in a year. Yeah.
More than a guard gets in a year. And the thing is, their increase is looking at more than 50 grand a year each.
No, but that's for the top ones. Yeah, the ones on the top. That's a quarter of the overall.
But then you're asking, you know, they were offered, let's say, a third of it. You know, I think it is pure greed and I think it is blackmail and it is holding companies to ransom. And they're not thinking about the people out there who have saved all year or for a couple of years for a holiday, for people who have saved all year or a couple of years for a wedding. And the thing is, you know, you're going to bankrupt a company to get more money out of them.
I don't think they'll bankrupt the company, but they're going to do a lot of financial damage to them. Yeah, but they'll financially damage Aer Lingus. Of course they will.
They will, yeah, because nobody's going to want a voucher. They'll all want refunds. What's the use in having a voucher? My dad has a refund voucher from Aer Lingus for the past 2 years, and every time we try to go on and use it, it's it's hopeless. So we just go, oh, feck it, we'll just pay the money.
I know, the website's not the easiest. Yeah, it's not the easiest website in the world to use, to be honest with you.
To get a refund.
Okay, so Angela, you'll pass the picket. If you were going, you'd pass the picket, yeah?
I'd pass the picket. I'd tell the whole lot of them to cop on. If they're surviving with the money that they have, why are you looking for an extra 50, 60 grand a year? You know, why don't you go with the 9%? They've been offered 9%. Why don't you go with that? Start at that even. Turn around and say, okay, do you know what? We'll do 9% this year. We'll do 5% next year. We'll keep increasing it. But we can't do it now. We can't do the whole lot now. And I know people are going to sit there and go, oh, these are multinationals and they're billing. That's what you joined up to. And if you don't like it, leave. Isn't that what we've always said?
Is that a fair point, Morris, by the way?
I'd never agree with a multinational company that doesn't look after its workers, regardless who they are. And I think the two of you have fallen for their speech.
No, I'm sick in the middle here.
It's a company name that's been bought over by an international company. Aer Lingus, it's just a plastic paddy name like Guinness. Every ounce of profit goes out of the country into private investors' pockets. What are you on about, Aer Lingus? It's only a name now. And they're treating people like shit because that's what they do when they get big. Diageo is from Asia.
But that's not a good argument. You know, Disneyland in Florida is owned by a company in Singapore. You know what I mean? Coca-Cola is owned by a company in Singapore.
They don't care about their workers.
How are they treating people like shit?
Well, okay, just somebody sent in a text and they said, just a heads up, the staff are working per their rosters. If there were enough pilots, they wouldn't have to cancel the flights. So the company are punishing them for that. Well, now, I don't necessarily agree with that because you're always going to have a situation where you will never have enough staff to say if somebody takes a day off sick or whatever it is. Somebody's always going to have to do overtime. But anyway, he goes on to say, it goes to show how much overtime and flexible the pilots normally are. I think everyone should only have to work what they are rostered to do. So in this instance, the company are at fault for insufficient numbers of pilots. I don't agree with you, Texter, because every company operates like that. You don't always have enough staff. If you had too many staff, then you'd have a problem. You'd be over budgeting. So you're always going to have just enough staff. If somebody takes a day off, it's the same in every job. Somebody has to step in and do their work. That's just the way it works. Yeah.
No, that's the other thing that people aren't looking at either. Look at all the overtime they're getting. Look at all the overtime that those pilots are getting. And they're volunteering.
Yeah, because they haven't got enough people in to do the work. They haven't got enough people in to roster and give everybody a fair slice of the cake. So they're worn out. How many hours are you allowed for a week?
They're not worn out, Morris. There's laws around how many hours a week they're allowed doing. And days. Yeah.
So there's rules. Morris,
can you answer me a question? You are saying they're treating people like shit. How are they treating people like shit?
Because I was talking to somebody that works in Aer Lingus and she sees what they do to the air hostesses and she sees what they do to the pilots.
No, I'm asking you, give me an example.
Yeah.
How are they treating them like
shit? They were thrown to the wolves during COVID. There's the door, there's no flights going, you've no job, get out and look after yourself. You're supposed to show loyalty and support your workers during the good times and the bad times.
But Morris, that was every company out there that had to shut down for it. So how are they?
And these people are standing up to it.
To everyone else,
they're standing up. They're standing up for their rights, Angela, to be treated fairly and properly. They need a bigger slice of the cake because there'll be no cake only for the
pilots. Being treated fairly, unfairly, would be. They're not being treated unfairly. They're not. How are they being treated unfairly?
Angela, generally speaking, would you pass a picket? Forget about Aer Lingus for the moment. But if you walked up, say, to a supermarket and they were on strike and you kind of heard, you know, what the strike was all about and you didn't agree with it, would you pass a picket?
Yeah.
Angela?
It depends on the situation, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If
I agree with the strike, of course I wouldn't pass it. But with this, I would pass them. I would pass them.
Okay, well, hang on for a second. Thank you, Morris, for that. Let me just go to... my thing is frozen on the screen there for me. Let me just go to Bernie if I can. Bernie, hi, how are you? Oh, are you there, Bernie? Oh, sorry, have I lost everybody? Is Angela there?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah. So for some reason, me gadget there is frozen on the screen.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, no. There you go, Bernie. You're there now. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm here, yeah. So you're asking me, I mean, I don't fly many places, so it doesn't really affect me directly, but I was a public service worker, and I think I wish my salary was even 70,000 or 60,000 for the work I did, and the amount of unsocial hours, overtime, you know, no canteen facility, all the things we didn't have, and we worked with it. So we worked within our means, and that's what we had to do. There was nobody going to like give us anything. Also, like, the government are getting a huge salary for sitting on their holes doing nothing, and like. You know, it's not right. Like,
Bernie, I agree with you to some extent, right? But in saying that, that's the job. Like, for example, I ran for election, as you know, I'm sure everybody knows this stage. Look, that was a really good salary if I had got the job, right? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Now, I wanted it for the job for the right reasons, by the way, not for the wrong reasons. Yeah. I didn't want it to be on some sort of
radio. I know that, absolutely. Yeah.
But in saying that, the bonus was it was a very good salary. But should I be denied that salary? And actually, what really pissed me off during the whole election campaign, when I was on RTÉ on drive time, there was five people around the table all arguing, if you remember. I don't know if you heard it or not.
I was the
only one who was asked, what am I going to do with the salary? Will I give it to a charity or something like that? I don't know why they asked me. Why didn't you ask the rest of them here? You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah, well, because you're not used to it now. You don't need it.
Yeah, I don't need it. I should work for free. When you say, Bernie, I was a nurse and I was only on 40 or 50 grand, but here's a pilot on, you know, 250,000 or whatever it is. That's just the job, isn't it? That's what the job pays. Yeah.
But that's what they do train. They do their pilot's license. They pay whatever, I think it's a 12 for 14,000 to do that license, whatever it costs them. There's a lot of, they put in a lot of basics. I personally would give them anything because I feel that they have the whole of our lives in their hand when you get on that plane. Their job is very, very intense. Like, you know, one false move and we're all over.
Well,
it's all
done,
over for 200. You know, whereas in a hospital setting, you can pull the defibrillator. They don't have any defibrillator if anything goes down. So I do respect their job. It's a great responsibility on their shoulders. And, you know, if they're on overtime, that shows you the severe lack of staffing. Their staffing levels aren't correct. If pilots have to go on overtime, then that shows you that there isn't enough staff in the roster.
But I mentioned guards earlier on. There's more guards die or get injured in the line of duty than pilots. And yet we pay them buttons.
Yeah, but this is where there's inequality within our pay services, pay scales. Everybody's pay scale should be revisited. And, you know, like a bin man, if he doesn't pick up your bins, the place goes down, rats appear. There's so many jobs that are much more important, are much more, need to be revisited urgently and see what they're doing in their job actually every day to keep the public.
I would agree with you with that. I think we need to relook at and revisit how we pay people. But leaving all that aside, if you were there on Saturday, and, you know, this pilot standing outside with signs saying support our strike, would you pass them? Would you walk past them?
Well, if I'm after booking a flight to New Zealand, is that going to cost me $2,000? And they're going to... I never like passing pickets. It depends, again, what the protesting is about. But if I'm after paying my... After saving for the last 2 years to get to New Zealand, I have to pass that picket because I need to be there.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that disrespectfully or anything. And, you know, I feel guilty saying that. But however, I'm not going to make that money back.
But there has to be a better way to sort out this problem, Bernie, because, you know, we've got a situation there where Aer Lingus, IALPA, obviously, and Aer Lingus can't agree on something and are not going to agree, it looks like. And you've got the people that are really suffering are those families who may have been saving for a holiday for the last 4 or 5 years with their kids who are going to arrive at Dublin Airport on Saturday, and lots of crying kids because nobody's going to get away on holidays.
Yeah, and that's not a picture you want to admit. Well, that's not the picture you want to portray. And, you know, if the pilots were offered 10% and they accept that now, and then we all revisit everybody's pay scale as a government in September when they come back into power or whenever and say, right, we have to review guards, nurses, you know, dietitians, pilots, the people who are on the waiting list, X-ray, everybody's pay scale should be revisited because the cost of living has gone through the roof for everybody, not just pilots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think everybody, by the way, including radio presenters, should be on more money, right?
Absolutely.
But in saying that, the problem is, when you suddenly revisit that and you say, okay, well, you know, your bin man deserves more, well, then all of a sudden the cost of having your bins collects goes up. So that, in turn, when you push people's wages up, it pushes up the cost of living. So,
but I mean, sorry, but the government seem to have a surplus of money because they're giving it to everybody else. Surely they can revisit everybody and start on the level field. So, you know, the people who fix our roads, the people who look after our lighting, the people who are looking after our water supplies, they're the people who need to have their paychecks revisited because they're doing a job that's silent and nobody's getting any They're getting no benefit, no respect for it.
Okay, and, do you support? Okay, so they said they haven't had a rise since 2019, and I want to clarify again that when you say they haven't had a rise, some of them in their contracts, they all would have in their contracts, they have incremental increases every year anyway, but they haven't had a rise, inverted commas, since 2019, before 2019. Do you support the strike? In other words, do you support their right to get a rise of 24% is what they're looking for?
If they were, I support their right to apply for a pay rise, but not at the level they're looking for.
Is that greed?
Part of it is, yeah. I feel it is greed.
Okay, so I have a text here. Somebody says on text, hello, can't come on the air as I work for Aer Lingus, but I can tell you these pilots are nothing but greedy, something or others. They don't deserve a penny extra. They are paid more than enough already, not to mention all the extras they get. If you heard some of their demands, I'm telling you nobody would feel an ounce of pity for them. They need to be taken down a peg or two. They have a handy number compared to other airlines. Anon. Now, I don't know how true
all
that.
Thank you, okay. Aer Lingus seemed to be a fabulous. That's why I was asking Morris when he said that these pilots are being treated like crap. I don't believe that at all. Aer Lingus are a great company to work for. And I know that because my uncle worked for them for years.
My father worked for Aer Lingus all his life. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, your father did. And look at all the perks that you get. You get free flights. They get their free food. They get extras. Everything. It was the same, to be honest now. My dad worked for De Beers for 30-odd years, which was a fabulous company to work for, you know. And, like, I just don't agree. They're not holding the company to ransom. They're holding everyone that gets on that plane.
Well, stay there. Let me just go to Andy. He hasn't been on before. Andy, hi. Nice to talk to you. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi, how's it going? Hi, Lua.
Good. Andy, do you support the strike?
Not at all, no. You're joking.
No, okay. because you're not on 250,000 euro a year, no?
Well, no, we work in construction, so I would liken this to my own situation, right? If I go into somebody's house working for my boss, I've agreed my pay rate with him, and let's say I go into a client's house, he goes off on his holiday, he says, right, Andy, go off and strip that roof there and get the job started. I strip off the roof, and halfway through, I decide, you know what? I think I deserve 25% more than what I'm getting. And I turn around to my boss and say, listen, I'm not putting the roof back on until you give me 25% more. It's the exact same situation, just in a different scenario.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if something has changed dramatically in their situation of their employment, their job has become significantly more dangerous, they're doing significantly more hours for less pay or the same pay or something like that, fair enough, they have a valid point. But that's just has to
But 99% of strikes, 99% of strikes, Andy, are not to do with conditions, they're to do with pay. You know, so most strikes come down to pay rises.
Yeah. And in fairness, like you're saying, everyone is feeling the pinch these days, everyone needs a little bit more money, but hitting somebody up for 25% and just saying, listen, this is it now, we've got you by the balls.
Well, they kind of have them. They do have them by the balls because,
they've got everyone.
But there's 20,000 or whatever it is. 15,000 customers on Saturday alone will be affected. I'm looking here. 250 flights over a 5-day period will be cancelled. Saturday will be the worst. There'll be 100 flights on Saturday cancelled. I mean, that's a lot of people's holidays destroyed.
That's a lot of people fucked up, right? Well, let's put it in perspective here, listeners, right? Let's say you're in your house and I come in to do your roof. And I pulled it off, and you're standing down in your living room looking up at me, and I'm saying, yeah, listen, you better get on to my boss and tell him to pay you more money, or your house is going to get destroyed over the weekend because he's not paying the money.
Yeah. I'm not even going to throw a sheet of plastic over it. Yeah.
No, your house is getting done. Get on to it, like, sort it out, or else. That's what it is. I don't see it in any way.
Okay, so in other words, it's keeping people at ransom, basically.
Absolutely it is. It's putting the gun to somebody. It's not putting the gun. It's not that extreme, but figuratively, you're putting the gun to somebody. Yeah, but your holiday's fucking gone.
Rhetorically speaking, you're putting a gun to their head. Yeah, of course. But that's what they are doing. Aer Lingus have accused the pilots of blackmail.
Yeah, I would go with that. Like, I'm a worker. I'm at the bottom of the rung, and you know, I'm usually with workers. I don't like multinationals, and whatever. But what's right is right. You can't argue by saying, "Oh, their job is this, their job is that." Their job is the same as when they started. My job is the same as when I started. I can't turn around to my boss and say, "Well, listen, you know, I'm at risk of blocks falling down." Like, I've had walls collapse on me, you know, while I'm walking on any scaffold. It's a risky job. I've been exposed to asbestos.
I'm absolutely sure more people have died in construction than flying planes. You know,
historically, yeah. But I can't just turn around in the middle of the day and say, do you know what? I just decided my job is quite dangerous and I deserve a quarter of my wages more. Instead of being on 2 grand a month, now I want 2,500 a month after tax or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So would you pass? No, so if you were out there at the weekend and they were standing outside with their, you know, their placards in their hands saying "Don't pass the picket," you'd pass the picket.
I'd egg them.
You'd egg them. I don't encourage that behaviour. But okay, so you don't support it at all.
No. It's thuggery. It's called thuggery. That's what it is. And there's poor people out there now. You know, I mean, people have been in bits for years. They haven't had holidays for years. I mean, so we haven't had a holiday since 2018. For, you know, different reasons, been able to work for COVID, you know, rising costs, homelessness, different things, my situation is shit. If I was going on a holiday now this year, like, and they were saying that, so you're not going on holidays because we want an extra 50 grand on top of me, 200 grand, I'd be like, yeah, sorry, you know, you're getting egged, mate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, will you? Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Angela.
Niall, I remember I worked in a company, you know, when kind of the boom went bang, right? And it was an office job, right? And there was like 8 of us in it, and they had a cleaner in every week. And then they decided that they couldn't afford the cleaner. So we ended up helping clean the office. Mm. We didn't look for extra money. You know, we were like, yeah, we took an intern, somebody Hoover, somebody clean, somebody.
That's a prime example of where you should be entitled to extra money. Like, where you actually could argue, they say, well, hold on, if we're doing extra work and we're not being paid extra money. So that's, you have a case then. But to just turn around and say,
you'd have a case,
you know what? I've got you here now. You're going to pay me this. I'm going to fuck your company.
Yeah. But we didn't.
Look how much money Aer Lingus are going to lose. You know, 600 million, I think. And you heard Owen Corry mention as well that we were going to be the first country to use these new Boeing Airbuses. And now they've given that opportunity to the Spanish Airlines instead, Iberia. So we won't get to use them. You know, so that's a huge loss to Aer Lingus.
Devastation.
Yeah, okay, we'll stay there, both of you, a second. Let me just go to Jackie as well. Jackie, hi, how are you?
Sure. I'm good. And look, I would support it if there was a cap put on the guys that are there, the older guys or the captains, where, you know, from 150,000 to 250,000. You know, if there was a cap put on that, well, then, yeah, because the guys coming in, you know, where they're earning 38,000.
Yeah, but they're only trainees. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's no fully qualified. As far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no fully qualified pilot going into Aer Lingus on 35,000. That's not happening.
Not at all.
No, they're trainees, Jackie.
All right. No, I was listening to a debate about this only recently, and I was. What I was listening to was 38,000.
Yeah, that's when I think that's when Aer Lingus are training junior. Them from the begin, from the juniors. Yeah, that's different.
Okay. So what is the say a young guy or whatever?
Okay, I gave you here. There's 199 pilots currently working at the airline. Just over one quarter are on an overall package of basic pay of 287,000. The next 12% are on a package of 215,000. The next 19.5% are on an overall package of 170,000. And the remaining 57% are on an overall package of in and around 200,000.
Oh, so, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. End of story.
There we go. Penny drop.
But there's another.
Sorry, go
ahead. 100%. But there's another thing here as well is, you know, where you look at these companies and look at your electric, you know, all your different Electric Ireland, all these companies. So they have a certain profit margin that they're trying to hit. So as their people are possibly getting extra on their salary or whatever, and then they put it up then on the customer, it kind of has to be looked at that why should a company decide, well, we need to make, you know, 100 million, or we need to make this. Otherwise, if we don't make this, we'll put the extra cost onto the consumer. So it's kind of wrong in so many different levels that companies think, oh, well, we have to be making this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, but here's the bottom line. Do you support the strike or not?
No.
Okay, so if you were out there, after all that, so if you were out there on Saturday, you'd pass the picket.
Yeah, I have to say I would. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Andy went a step further than passing the picket. But anyway, but you definitely passed the picket. I'm listening to most people saying it. It's like, do you remember when the Lewis drivers went on strike going back a good few years ago? They didn't get a huge amount of support. They were looking for whatever it was, 70 grand for pulling a lever. You know? What was it?
Yeah.
That's all you had to do was push a lever. I know maybe it's a bit more difficult than that, but anyway, that's generally what was thought at the time. And people didn't see, I think to go on strike, you know, you have to get public support as well. And when you directly affect people, particularly when you pick a week, and that particular Saturday is the first day the kids are off school for holidays, and most people have their holidays booked for that particular week to bring the kids away to Spain or whatever it is. It's really, really, you know, we're down to bottom drawer stuff here when you're doing that to people. And that's not a good look, is it, for the pilots?
And Niall, what is Ryanair pilots on? Have you?
Oh, they wouldn't be on. I don't have the breakdowns here. No, I'll find out in a second. But I can tell you now, they're not on as much as Aer Lingus pilots. No, nowhere close to it. But they'd be on good money, yeah. I'm sure. You know what I mean?
No, it'd be interesting to see exactly what they're.
Oh, there's a massive difference.
The top guys. Yeah.
Okay, I've just been told between 49 and 120,000.
23.
Yeah, 123,000. Yeah, between 49 and
100,000. So they're on half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on half.
Well, 123,000 is still not a bad wage, by the way. You know what I mean? You got to remember, of course, Ryanair pilots don't fly transatlantic. So there's a bit of a difference, too. So you can't really compare.
But you know what the thing is? This is what a lot of people don't seem to be getting into their heads is. That's their basic salary. And then you have to put the overtime on top of it.
Yeah, no, I know.
So they're on massive money because overtime isn't just time. It could be time and a half. It could be double time, whatever, you know, they agree to. Because there again, they're holding them. I'll do it for you. Come here, I'll work the bank holiday, but I want treble time with a day off. Yeah.
And not only that, Jackie, you have to take into consideration being a pilot. There's a lot of perks to the job. You get to visit a lot of countries in the world. You get cheap and free flights anywhere you want to go. Mm. I think they get one positive free flight every year, as well as, you know, they get discounts on all the flights for their family and et cetera, et cetera. So there's a huge amount
of perks.
Friends
and family.
Yeah, nice pension. I'm sure there's healthcare. You know, there's loads of good...
They get great food.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. As long as you like the chicken or the beef.
They get first class food.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually thought that being a minister or being in politics was a great paying job. Jeez, I was wrong. I should be going for a pilot.
Maybe you should. Maybe you should, Jackie. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, do you think politicians are overpaid? Well, clearly the ones we have are, but generally speaking, do you think politicians are overpaid? Is 120 grand for a TD? Is it too much money? I don't think it is, provided they do a good job.
No, yeah, if they're doing the problem there is the 5 years, and if someone isn't doing their job and they're getting that for 5 years, that's wrong.
No, I would agree. So let me go to Sharon. Sharon, hi, how are you? Stay there, Jackie.
Hi, Niall. Good, thanks. Got a bit too much sun yesterday, however.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad to see you're enjoying it. Anyway, Sharon, would you support the strike?
No, I wouldn't.
Mm.
I wouldn't. I think to do that to, you know, children, mothers and fathers who, you know, work so hard all year, and this break means the world to them.
Well, the pilots will say we're not doing it. They'll blame Aer Lingus. They're going to say we're not doing it. If Aer Lingus just agreed to pay us what we believe we're due, well, then that wouldn't be happening. You could say the same about every strike, couldn't you?
They're on good. They're on very good money, and they're not astronauts. I know they have a very responsible job, but they're not going into space. Like, you know, they're well paid for what they do, and they deserve to be well paid for what they do. But even if they chose a different time, maybe and a smaller. No, I think they're well paid. Honestly,
no, they are. No, they are. There's no doubt they're well paid.
Yeah,
but that's the job, isn't it? It's like other, like, you know, we talk about other jobs that are well paid. I mean, if you go into that job, you know, you get well paid because it's a responsible job. You train for many years to do it. You know, you have to put in the hard work for 6 or 7 years before you get the job of, you know, flying around for practically nothing just to get notch up your hours. What's it, 30,000 commercial hours they have to do before they can put a passenger in the back. So, you know, or whatever it is, 300, I don't know what it is. Anyway, the thing about it is, you have to pay for all of that.
I know, but I spoke to a mother the other day whose daughter, I think it's going to be her 21st, and a load of them, she asked a load of her friends to go to some sunny spot, and now they're all devastated, and their young ones going to lose their money, you know?
Well, they won't lose their money. They'll get their money back. They won't get a refund, but they may lose their money on the apartment that they're going to, or,
yeah,
or the accommodation, yeah, if they don't turn up for it.
Huh? They will. They'll probably get the flight money back, but the accommodation, yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. So you don't...
I just think it was a rotten time to do it.
Oh,
as
no,
well.
It is. But I mean, aren't all strikes picked at rotten times? Because that's the whole principle of a strike, isn't it, as far as I remember, is that you pick a time that mostly impacts people. So it kind of, I mean, okay, the company are calling it blackmail, Aer Lingus, but most strikes are blackmail when you think about it, because, you
okay,
know,
maybe if they were not on good money, I would say, okay, you have to hit where, you know, is going to make an impact if they're going to take your strike seriously. But they are well paid. As far as I'm concerned, they're on enough money.
Jackie, just to go back to what you were saying about putting a cap on it. Do you believe there should be a cap on salaries in general?
I honestly think so. Because when
that's
you look
bit,
at
that's
the,
kind of socialism, isn't it?
Look at the OPW. It's just ridiculous. I'm looking at, say, within the music industry, in my industry, and I'm looking at guys that what they're charging. They've been charging the same thing for the last 20 years. In actual fact, some of the stuff has gone down, as in the what they can earn. And you're kind of going, how can people come out and demand and get these kind of salaries?
But Jackie, I'll argue. Okay, so the wedding band, right, goes out and they charge 600 quid for a wedding, right, okay? And they've probably been charging that for 20 years. They just can't get any more because nobody's willing to pay anymore. But Taylor Swift is going to play a gig next week and she'll probably get 10 million for her appearance, right? So she's a musician as well, if that's what you want to call her. I personally wouldn't call her a musician. Yeah, but anyway, she's a musician. So, but should there be a cap? You're saying that jobs maybe should have a cap on it for salary. But there's a level of kind of communism or socialism about that. That's anti-capitalist, isn't it? You know, I didn't think you were kind of a socialist, Jackie.
Well, I think it's gone. It's getting ridiculous what people are earning and on what the likes of. When you look at RTE, look at the HSE, look at OPW, look at all these government jobs are based.
Yeah, but they're government jobs, and I agree with you in relation to RTE and what they pay their presenters, right? Because that's tax money. That's your tax money. And we're quite entitled to have caps on tax money. We do across the civil service, generally speaking, right? But in saying that, you know, when it's a private company, how can you put caps on salaries for private companies? Because now, as I said, you're getting into socialism.
Yeah, but then for a private company, if that affects the consumer, then there is a problem because where the companies believe we should be, you know, we should be paying our CEOs and all the directors this kind of money and we should be earning this or we should be making this kind of profit every year. And then as stuff goes up, the consumers are the ones that are getting hit. And that's wrong.
Okay, hang on. Let me just go to Ben as well. Ben, hi. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, Ben. Now, you've been in aviation for 20 years, so you'd be kind of familiar with what's going on here. But by the way, I'm not begrudging pilots the good salaries they get. But is this strike, is it necessary?
No. It's just greed. 100% greed. You know, at the end of the day, the people who are going to get hit are the passengers. And they're not just going to get hit from the pocket because, of course, the airline is going to have to find the additional money for this. But invariably, the airline will also then draw money from various other departments that it feels don't have an equal return on investment. And the department that invariably gets drawn from is security. And so the aviation security then invariably gets streamlined to the nth degree to compliance measures only. And so therefore, you are restricting security from really being where it needs to be, or certainly developing the security culture within the airline. And as a result, what you've got is you've got overpaid flyboys who everybody, again, still for some reason believes are the only people responsible for their safety and security in the air or on the ground, you know, when there are ground operations people, there are load masters, there are flying mechanics, both flying mechanics and loadmasters don't have crew rest regulations to adhere to. So these guys can, or girls can, fly all over the world nonstop and don't have the crew rest that the pilots certainly do. They also are on very, very, very much less than pilots are. They don't have the same command in terms of this perceived respect that we have for them.
It kind of comes from, it's very historic, that respect that we have for pilots, you know, that kind of the man in the uniform walking out of the airport, linking his cabin crew, that kind of respect that we always looked up to the pilots, and that's why they get seemingly paid so well for what they do. But in saying that, that is the job, that's what it pays. By the way, Ben, in relation to worldwide, are Irish pilots, well, Aer Lingus pilots, forget about Ryanair for the moment, are they paid over and above what other pilots are getting, or is that about the standard rate?
All I'll tell you is this. When I first started my aviation career, I started on the ramp, and I was working with a company who also was sort of working on the same ramp as Aer Lingus, ground operations people. And I started in 2004. And in 2004, there were guys who... So the difference between Aer Lingus and the rest of ground handling companies is that ground handling companies, invariably, everybody's trained to do everything. So whether it's to load the bag in the can or load the bag into the aircraft or put back the aircraft with the tugs or use the high loaders or whatever, everybody in the other sort of like Swissport or everybody else, they are trained on everything. Aer Lingus guys were only trained on one specific thing. Now, I can only tell you for one fact that the guys who were doing the pushbacks, so they may have done maybe 5 or 6 pushbacks and maybe 3 or 4 tows in their 12-hour shift that day, they were earning per week, and this was back in 2004, they were earning over €300 a week. And this was, compared to what we were getting, was nothing.
Yeah.
And they've always been overpaid, massively overpaid.
Okay, well, I can even go back to my father's days. My father was paid bi-weekly, by the way, which was every 2 weeks, which is nothing back in the day, going back 30, 40 years ago. And I remember back in the 1980s when my father worked in Aer Lingus, he was getting £600 per 2 weeks.
Sorry, yeah.
Which was unheard of.
I remember actually they were being paid €24 an hour was what they were getting. And that's what they were getting back, what, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, in comparison to say, again, the likes of Swissport or Menzies or, I don't know, WFS or whoever else, that they just get hugely paid way more. I don't know why anybody has this high estimation of Aer Lingus. They are currently they're operating a low-cost carrier model, but they are charging legacy airline prices. You go on an airline, you go from, say, Shannon to Heathrow, and you're on an A320, A321. There's no seat back pockets. It's a basic
airline, yeah. Model. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no cost carrier, but it's still legacy prices. So I don't know, and there's, I don't, they just have their own way, that's all. They're very different. I worked with an airline in the US for many years, and the flight deck and the cabin crew and the mechanics and the loadmasters, we all were there to do the one job, which was to get the aircraft out and back on the ground safely and on time. And that was it. There was no attitude. The ones that maybe had an attitude were certainly brought into line very quickly by everybody else, because we all work together.
Somebody, by the way, sent in a text and said, what's that guy talking about? The DAA are in charge of security. Nothing to do with any airline. So what is the guy saying? It's bull.
He said what?
He said the DAA are in charge of security, nothing to do with any airline. So what the guy is saying is bull. That's what he just said. Really?
Ask this guy who actually pays for the security then. Who pays for security? Aviation security.
Well, it comes out of your ticket price.
Right. So therefore, yeah. Who does it pay for? Who pays for it?
Yeah, I know the customer. I think the guy is misunderstanding what you're saying. So basically, your ticket price goes into a budget. There's a budget. Everybody's ticket price goes in. The overall turnover every year has to be divvied out to the DAA, to Aer Lingus, and to pilots, and to cabin crew, and to ground staff, and to everybody else. So it all has to be shared out.
Yep.
So the point you're making is the more you pay the pilots, the less there is for something else. Unless, of course, you put the price of the tickets up.
Yeah. But they're not going to want to do that, because at the end of the day, airlines are not run by enthusiasts anymore. They're run by accountants. And accountants want to see a return on investment from every different department of an airline or ground operations company. And what they don't see a tangible return on investment is security, unless something happens. And once something happens, then they're going to go, oh my God, we should have done something, so-and-so. And then what they do is, just like we tend to do in this country more than anywhere else in the world, we're reactive. We react then. And we deal with it then. We then put the money into security then when we
So what should happen in this situation? Because we're now in a situation where the pilots are saying, well, we're not going to do any overtime and there may be more work to rule days unless we get this 24%. And Aer Lingus are saying, I'm sorry, you know, we've got 10% here, take it or leave it. We're not giving you any more than that. So we're kind of at a stalemate, aren't we?
The public should stand behind Aer Lingus. Mm. It's the national airline. The public should stand behind Aer Lingus and not be blackmailed by these pilots.
Well, then we're going to see a summer of strikes.
Well, then they've got alternatives. Then other airlines will be able to come in, and then the slots will be open, and then other airlines can bid on those slots, and Aer Lingus will lose their slots.
Well, that's not good for Aer Lingus, is it, for the national carrier?
Fair enough. Mm. But they're going to have to make. So, what do we do then? This is like a terrorist situation. Do we accept the terrorists?
Do we just give in to black? Well, not terror, obviously the word terrorists, but certainly Aer Lingus have accused them of blackmail. Yeah, and greed.
No, I understand. What I'm saying is you can't keep giving in. And this is our big problem, is that we keep giving in, and the countrywide. This is one of our biggest problems. We don't stand up and say no. We're like, Asher, look.
Hmm. Well, hang on. Let me go to John as well. John, hi. How are you?
I feel like a quotation coming on from the film Jerry Maguire. Show me the money. It's all about the money.
Well, it is about. Well, it always is. Strikes are always about money, aren't they? Usually.
As I'm saying, if anybody thinks that this is going to end up like with only just 10% on the table, you're cutting yourself. This is going to go way past that. Now, whether they get exactly what they're looking for is another argument, but it's not going to be just 10%. And the dogs in the street know that. This strike, just like bloody wars, this strike is going to come to an end, one way or the other, because every day that this goes on is costing the company millions, right? And they're already, after losing out, going back to COVID, they're losing out now. If it continues on another week or two, they'll lose out more. Now, as the guards, like this idea of comparing to they're earning more than the Taoiseach of the country, well, the difference is between the earnings of the Taoiseach and the earnings of the pilots and the captains, right? They actually do the job they're paid to do.
Well, yes, you could argue that they are doing the job they're paid to do, but Jackie believes there should be a cap on how much money people can earn. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, you see, if you're going to, where does the cap fit in? I mean, does it happen to the guy working in retail? Does it the guy driving the taxi, driving the bus? I mean, where does the cap fit?
We need justification for any sort of a raise. Okay, if it's an annual raise you're looking for, okay, fair enough, we can start looking at that. But for something so substantial, particularly for senior pilots who are on way too much money as it is, there's no justification for that.
Well, their justification is they haven't had a rise since 2019. That's their justification.
For what? But many people haven't had, but they wouldn't be asking for... Look, Niall, in fairness, if a bus driver asked for a 30% raise in Dublin Bus, would he get it?
No, well, they wouldn't.
Unreasonable. You had the guy there a while ago, he was walking in the building stage, right? And he said, like, you mean about what he's earning compared to the pilots, right? Well, if he wants to earn what the pilots are earning, let him pack up the job in the building stage and learn how to fly a plane. Then he'll have that money. I would never
but
be jealous of anyone
that's
earning.
That is too much money.
But Ben, to be fair, Ben, right, I understand it's good wages. I wouldn't mind 287 grand a year. That'd be nice. And by the way, just over one quarter on that 287. The majority, 57%, would be on in and around 200,000. Okay, but here's the thing. I wouldn't mind being on that kind of dough, but I'm not a pilot, Ben. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And there are radio presenters, not me, who are earning 200 grand or 250 grand. They work on RTE, by the way. You know, and people have often said to me, oh, that's too much money. I'll take it if somebody wants to give it to me. So why wouldn't you take it?
This is where we are inherently wrong as a society. This is why, you know, the whole parish politics thing doesn't work in this society. We don't agree with what certain people are doing, but if it comes our way, we'll take it.
But it's true, Ben. Hang on, John, for a second. Ben, are you telling me, if I don't know what you earn, but if somebody said to you, I'm going to pay you 250 grand a year, are you telling me you'd say no?
I would need to justify it. I would need to certainly look at the fact, saying to myself, is this something that I really can justify 5 years down the line when they find out that I am not worth this? Because pilots are not worth that.
Do you, John, do you think a pilot is worth 250 grand or 200 grand or whatever it happens to be?
That look, I mean, it's the same now with consultants. We say, people say they earn huge money. I had to pay for private here for a series test there recently, right? But I didn't begrudge paying that out of my own pocket. Why? Because I put my full trust in that consultant who earns good money, right?
Well, he earns good money, but I think they have the experience, you know, because they've worked in whatever their field is, you know,
that's the point I'm making,
college or whatever
it
is. Yeah.
I'm putting my future of my life in his hands. And I don't care what he's earning. I don't care what a nurse is earning. If she's driving around in a gold-plated Mercedes,
there are a number of people that are involved here that your life is in their hands, not just the pilot or the first officer. Your life is also in the hands of all the flight attendants who have been trained to deal with security matters and safety matters and save you when an aircraft ditches successfully and manages to get you off the aircraft. They are the ones who are trained to do that. They are certainly not on anywhere near that money. We then also talk about Ryanair pilots. You referred to Ryanair pilots not going international. No, fair enough. The difference is Ryanair pilots will do 6 legs a day. And they will do 6 takeoffs and 6 landings a day. The Aer Lingus pilots will do 1 transatlantic flight in which they get up, they rotate, they get up, they put it onto autopilot, and they keep, you know, they're going for the 6 hours that they're going, then they get off, and then they have their crew rest for however long that is.
That's the job, and I understand they put it into autopilot, et cetera, because I have a flight simulator and I'm mad into all that kind of thing. Right? But I understand that. So they really only have to take off and land the plane. Everything in the middle is done automatically. That's just because of technology. Before that, it wasn't done automatically. But the point is, they still have to be there to make sure it's all working properly. And sometimes it doesn't, and they have to take it out of autopilot. So, you know, they still have to have the qualifications to do all of that. Well, actually, stay there just a second. Stay with me, Ben, because I want to bring Kieran in as well. Kieran, hi, how are you?
Good, you know.
Good. Okay. Kieran, you think there's too many begrudgers out there?
Yeah. I mean, the guys that get the money take it. You know, around the Aer Lingus salary things, I mean, I don't know how true this is, but I've heard some commentary on the weekend that, you know, BA, which is part of International Airlines Group, the pilots got it, or, you know, that 25% of the last couple of years. The argument, as I've heard it, is that the Aer Lingus pilots want to be on the same par as the BA pilots. And, you know, it's the same airline group. And aside from that, apparently IAG's got $37 billion sitting in the bank in capital, so why not take it? And alternatively, get rid of the pilots and fly it remotely. Put some guy in the desert.
Let's give them a performance-based range and base it on their actual on-time departures. And let's see how much they get a raise then.
Well, they're talking about retrospectively currently, aren't they? My understanding. It's
from 2019,
Aer Lingus wants to put it going forward, and that's the whole purpose of the argument. And anyway, you can fly to Belize remotely from Arizona, as the Americans do with bombers.
Mm. Yeah, so. you could fly them remotely, but I'd still prefer to see somebody sitting there and keep an eye on us, to be honest. Yeah, but I mean, Ben is making the point that, you know, being a pilot with Aer Lingus in the first place is an overpaid job. Like, you know, in today's world, certainly in the days back in the 1970s, where a pilot literally flew the plane, you know, nowadays they don't. Let's be clear about it. I know all about them. They basically take off and land.
They actually land on autopilot too, pretty much.
A lot of them do, depending on the weather conditions, okay? So, you know, there's not a lot as much to being a pilot nowadays, Kieran, as there would have been, you know, 30 years ago, when those kind of salaries were kind of expected to some degree. But in saying that, the job is what it is, and that's what it pays. And look, pilots train long hours. They do a lot of. They have to clock up a lot of hours to be a commercial pilot. I get all of that. Just like your specialist in the hospital has to clock up a lot of years, you know, to be a specialist in whatever field he's in. So, you know, Kieran, you know, Ben is saying they're being overpaid anyway.
Well, you could fire them. You could do like Reagan did with the air traffic controllers back in the day. You know, I wouldn't have liked to be flying in America with, you know, with untrained air traffic controllers for a couple of years, but nobody died too much. So fire them. Get new ones in.
there's our reactive situation there. So because it doesn't happen means that we don't need to do something, right? Look, at the end of the day, I'm not going to argue anymore. I'm not going to argue anyway. I'm just making a point here that there is their money needs to go into other places. And currently, we are, you know, the whole industry is a reactive industry. We're trying to change this. We're trying to make it more security-minded. We've no idea what's coming down the line. You know, when we referred to COVID, we had people in security screening who had zero after COVID because we had to start hiring again and nobody wanted to come back.
Remember that, yeah.
Very, very little experience, but they've had to be trained very fast and hopefully they're getting recurrent training as they go. But these are people who are just as responsible for the safety and security of the passengers, but they're being paid €14 an hour.
And? You mean Swissport, etc. I think I heard you refer to Swissport.
No, I'm talking about
They were the ones who brought in the cheap rates. They were the ones who brought in the cheap rates. Okay, I'm sure Aer Lingus doesn't use Aer Lingus staff, but that's probably subcontracting. Yes.
As somebody mentioned already, the DAA, of course, they look after all of that. But the point Ben was making, and he is right, that it's all in your ticket price. So the ticket price, you know, dictates, and for Aer Lingus, for Ryanair, for everybody, how much the DAA and Aer Lingus get, or should I say the DAA get. And all of that money has to be divvied out to the right departments. So in other words, if you're going to pay the pilots more, that's money that has to come from somewhere else, unless you put the price up.
About those planes being diverted away from Aer Lingus, wasn't there something about capacity at Dublin Airport impacting that as well, which is not an Aer Lingus gig at all?
This is the cap. Yeah, the cap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think we're going to have more debates about the cap. The cap is ridiculous. Okay. We all know that. Yeah. Okay, but look, listen, thank you very much indeed, Kieran. Ben, thank you very much indeed. I know you've exhausted that argument, and I do appreciate it. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Niall. Good afternoon, and it's good to talk to you again. And I must say, you ran a great election campaign. You were
brilliant. Thank you, Joe.
I saw you on all the debates, and I tell you something, you should actually sue RT for the way they treated you, Niall. They tried to, blackmail you.
Bally rag me. Yeah, they did.
But listen, you came out on top, Niall. I know you didn't get elected, but at least you're back doing what you're good at doing, fighting the woke.
Yeah, and I'm back on the radio again tonight. I start back on the radio
That's
tonight.
Great.
Mind you, a few people are not happy about that. A couple of people have suggested to commission a man that I shouldn't be allowed back on the radio. Affect them. By the way, sorry, I gave out the wrong number there a minute ago. 085-100-2255. Yeah. That's 085-100-2255. Yeah. If you want a WhatsApp. Sorry, Joe, what do you like to say?
This is a very interesting situation at the moment. I do feel sorry for the families who are taking kids away on holidays and stuff, and you can understand a lot of people are probably taking their first summer holiday in 5 years since the coronavirus hysteria, you know. So I can see where there's a lot of anger there. But I also think too that a lot of these pilots were held to ransom during the COVID years by certain individuals in this country. You know, they were demonized, they were, threatened, you know.
Demonized or threatened, Joe, I mean, a lot of people were hard done by during COVID. You know, I know there was a whole issue in Aer Lingus where they weren't giving them the hours, but they couldn't claim the 350 because they were still employed by Aer Lingus. There was a whole hoo-ha going on at the time. And yes, you're right, Aer Lingus didn't treat their staff as well as they probably should have during COVID-19.
Yeah.
But you could argue that about a lot of companies. You know, a lot of people lost money during COVID. Not just pilots.
Oh, yeah, well, I understand that. And that's very true. This kind of reminds me a bit of the year 2000. Do you remember the year when the train drivers went on strike for nearly, 3 or 4 months? And a certain Mr. Brendan Ogle became a sort of a folk hero in this country to the socialist left, you know?
Mm.
Now, it did create major problems at the time. I remember it well. It was actually, and I'm on my, like, it was actually a very good summer that year, actually, weather-wise. But I think the problem here, look, and this has been a problem for years, I think, there are certain people in, air people who work on airlines, huge amounts of money, and look, that's just the way it goes. I do agree that there's probably ordinary people who are just working part-time are probably not making as much as what they should. Look, I don't suspect them, but I think that the timing at the moment is a little bit weak, really, given the fact that we're in the real peak holiday season now, you know. Would they have been better off to do it back in March and April? They probably would, but look, they're doing it now. But I think as...
Well, it would have been better to do it March and April, but it wouldn't have the same impact. You know, the reason they're doing it on that particular day is to have the most amount of impact, to piss the most amount of people off, so they can try and get what they wanted, I suppose. That's what they're doing. That's what they do in all strikes, isn't it?
Yeah, and the problem is then, of course, if the strike was to go on for a certain time, you know, they'd become public enemy number one anyway.
Well, this is what's going to happen. If there's no agreement by the weekend, I imagine, and this strike goes to its full fruition, which is, you know, Saturday will be the worst hit day. On Monday, I imagine they're going to announce more strike days. So it's going to get worse.
Well, you can blame the Green Party for that, given the fact that they're destroying this country.
But I don't know if I can blame the Green Party for this particular strike. But in fairness, let's just blame the Green Party anyway, because that's fun.
Yeah, but I don't like the Green Party. You know, I hate this. And that particular rattlesnake that's supposed to be taking Cabbage's leadership.
Oh, you don't like Roger O'Gorman? Let's not get into the Green Party for today. We can slag them all off another day. They're not responsible for this particular strike. But so here's the thing, Joe. You arrive at the airport, let's say, and there's people standing there, pilots, you know, and their friends standing there with, you know, pickets in their hand or with placards in the hand. Are you passing the picket?
I don't think I would pass the picket. I would respect them that way. Depending on what the picket, if it was a situation where there was something which was involved with virtual signaling, like say for some certain thing, that would be a different thing. But no, I wouldn't pass them. I respect all people, all workers, because I think all workers deserve some sort of credit, you know.
Okay. Fair enough. Listen, Joe, thanks very much indeed. Appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in that conversation. Now, just before I have a couple of messages here just to play. Oh, I've just been handed loads of messages here, by the way. So Eamon Bulger says, no winners in this one. They have a right to strike, but families have a right to go on holidays. Then again, given the fact that the CEO and the CFO have allegedly received 100% pay increases, you can see what's driving this dispute. Johnny says, sorry, but there's no excuse for this action. Yes, legally they're allowed to strike. However, picking this time of the year to do that is absolutely shit. They should remember that they're only in a job because of their customers. Thousands of people losing money on holidays. Aer Lingus will lose a lot of their loyalty as well from customers over this. Greed on both sides. David says, what I don't understand is it's an 8-hour strike on the 29th. So why are they cancelling flights over a 5-day period? They're cancelling flights over a 5-day period because it's not just the 8-hour strike. There's two parts of the strike. The other part of the strike is pilots are refusing to do overtime. And pilots constantly do overtime because you will never have enough pilots for the extra flights or if somebody gets sick or whatever it is. So that's why. But the main day will be the day of the 8-hour strike, which is for Saturday, which is the day the kids are off school and the first day that everybody's going on holidays, coincidentally. It's not actually coincidence. It's planned. Anyway, Adrian says the rise they're looking for is more than some people would earn in a year. Absolutely, it's more than most people would earn in a year, actually, to be honest with you. If you're on the top bracket, it's over 50 grand. Somebody else says, fully support the pilots. That comes in from Jenny, who says she's a pilot's wife. No, I'm joking. Jenny's not a pilot's wife, but she just supports the pilots. I think it's so cruel to do this to people, especially kids. I think they get paid well enough. Now, here's the thing. I am going to argue in favour of pilots to some degree, right? This idea that pilots get paid too much money is a nonsense idea to some degree, right? Because I know Ben didn't like the idea, but I didn't also like the idea that earlier on when Jackie said he put a cap on salaries because they were heading into like a communist society. Now, there are radio presenters, for example, in RTE who get paid a lot more than I do on radio. Actually, they get paid 5 times as much as I do on radio. But in saying that, I would take the money if they handed it to me tomorrow. Absolutely. Why wouldn't I? If Kevin, my boss on radio, turned around to me tomorrow and says, I'm going to pay you $250,000 a year, I'll gladly take it off him. I wouldn't feel guilty about it. Like Ben said, I wouldn't look back and say I wasn't worth it. I believe I'm worth it. You have to value yourself, don't you? So in saying that, I don't disagree what pilots earn. Are they being greedy looking for more? Probably, yes, they are. Without a shadow of a doubt, they're being greedy looking for more. in the way they're looking for it. It could have been worked out better. It could have been done over a period of time. It could have been agreed a little bit easier. I understand. But they're on, Jesus, they're on good money already. Absolutely, they're on good money. But do they deserve it? Yeah, sure, why not? Do they deserve more than that? Sure, why not? I mean, do I deserve more? Absolutely. Does everybody deserve more? We all do. I'm on less money now as a radio presenter than I was 20 years ago. During the Celtic Tiger, you know, it was booming. Everybody was being paid silly money. So do we deserve money? We all deserve better money. The nurses, the doctors, the guards, we all deserve better money. We're not getting it. But we don't live in a communist society, so you can't cap the wages. This idea that you can cap wages, unless it's public sector money, if it's taxpayers' money like RTE, well, then you should be able to cap it because we're paying it. But if it's a private company like Aer Lingus is, well, semi-state, there shouldn't be a cap on wages. You can't have a cap on wages. Unless it's a state-appointed CEO, then you can put a cap on that wage, for example. But you shouldn't cap wages. Because the last thing we want to be is some sort of communist socialist society. Although I'm sure there are people out there in certain political parties that would love that. And here's another little rant. I was looking on Boyle Sports while I was running for election. I was looking at Boyle Sports and the possibilities in the next general election. And there was like, I don't know, 10 to 1 possibility that we would have a Labour, Social Democrat, People Before Profit, Green Party government. Can you imagine that? I will leave this country. I will put, actually, I'll take a wager, bet with anybody. If that happens in this country, I'm leaving. I'm leaving this country because this country is already in the shitter as it is. Can you imagine what it would be like in this country to be run by people like People Before Profit or the Social Democrats? This kind of free-for-all society that they kind of like, this socialist idea. We would be destroyed, absolutely destroyed. These are political parties who don't even know what a woman is, who are afraid, for example, to even call out the gender of a child. These are people who have no idea how many genders there are, and you want them running a country. Can you possibly imagine that? Political parties who believe it's okay to perform surgery on children to change their gender. Can you imagine that? Imagine a country run by people like that. Bizarre, isn't it? Whatever faith or hope that you have with Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil, I mean, and believe me, that's not much because they've gone all left and all woke. You know, you have no hope with the rest of those parties. None. I don't know who votes for them. Maybe, I don't know, Tom out in Killiney because it doesn't really affect his life. He doesn't give a shit. He's earning loads of money anyway. And, you know, every political decision he makes doesn't affect his life, but affects the rest of our lives. Anyway. Oh, yeah. I have some audio to listen to here. Hold on. Let me just play this for you as well while we're at it. Where's it gone? Oh, yeah. There we go.
He says, Niall, 24%, way too high. Way too high. No. Let's fucking sack them all. Sack them all and let Ryanair buy more planes in. Unfortunately, it's too much. Way too much. Cheers, Niall.
How's it going? I think the pilots, I heard someone saying somewhere that they came to that figure. You know, they added up the last time they got a pay rise to now. He added up how much a politician has got, what percentage a politician has got a pay rise, and that's where the number came from. So that's in case people are just curious about that, you know. So that's how much the politicians have got a pay rise. So they're saying, well, if they can get it, so can we.
A lot of people believe that, yeah, that if politicians get it. Well, they based it on public sector pay rises, yeah. Public sector pay rises over that period of time they're basing it on, which was 24%, I think, isn't it, or something like that. But most people didn't get those rises over that period of time, so I don't think pilots are entitled to it. If they were going to get a rise, I think the 10% is probably adequate. By the way, speaking of pay rises and money, you know, every now and again we have to beg. And obviously I haven't worked because I hate to keep mentioning that stupid election campaign, but I did. I didn't work during that period of time, so it was 8 weeks. We haven't been paid. So basically the money that I get, a lot of it goes into this podcast and paying for this podcast because it doesn't pay for itself. Not yet. It will someday. But it doesn't pay for itself yet. But because I haven't been paid in 8 weeks, that's not been easy. So we want to keep the podcast going. We really do. But we need your support. Please, if you can help us. The bills are coming at the end of the month for the uploads and all the other stuff that we use, the electricity and everything else. So please, if you can help us out in any shape or form, subscribe on the website, nileboylan.com. Don't forget, there's huge benefits to that. You can watch back all of the episodes on video. You can go in there once you're subscribed, and obviously to a payment plan. I don't mean subscribe for free, by the way. Subscribe on the website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. Or if you can donate,
It'd be great. A fiver or 5 million. Whatever you, if you're wealthy, by the way, and you can throw us a few quid, we'd really, really appreciate it. We like to give you this platform. Some days it's a news story like today. Other days, you know, it's a social dilemma or whatever it is we discuss on a daily basis. But we want to give you a platform. It's your platform, uncensored. Say what you want, within reason, obviously. And have a good old Barney. We don't censor people. All right, so please do support us. It's really important. And we have a plan, by the way. I told you this going back some time ago, but believe me, it's definitely coming in the next month. And it's going to be a bigger and better plan. Because during the campaign, I noticed how unfair the media were to me and to other candidates, by the way, as well. Not just to me, by the way, to other candidates. And they favoured and they were cozying up to the, you know, the their favourite political parties, be it Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or Labour, wherever it happens to be. So they're cozying up to them. And they didn't give us, they didn't give most people the same exposure they gave them. So the media has to change. And if you look at the story in the paper during the week, they talk about traditional media. It's starting to slowly but decline. And other media like this is increasing. So people want more from media. They want more balance. They want the other side of the story. You know, they want the centre right. They want the centre left, whatever it is. They don't want just one side of the story all the time, which is what you're getting from RT most of the time, by the way. It's completely unbalanced as far as I'm concerned. It's not impartial. They have a narrative and they stick to it. So please do support us to be the other side. We want to be bigger. We want to be better. And we are going to do that. We have a plan. And we're working with somebody else at the moment. I can't tell you all about that yet, but we will tell you all about it in the next month or two. And it's going to be bigger and much bigger than you can possibly imagine. But we need your financial support to do that. We don't have the money to do it on our own. Please do go to our website and donate or subscribe to a payment plan. It's only the price of a cup of coffee every month. That's all it is. And look what we give you for it. We work hard, three of us, every single day at this. Please help us to do that. www.nileboylan.com. That's www.nileboylan.com. And don't forget as well, from the end of the month, we will be changing the way we send us out. You'll still be able to listen to it for free, by the way. Don't worry about that. We're never going to change that. We're always going to give you the option to listen for free. But obviously, it's very difficult for us. On Twitter, you're watching this at the moment. We don't get a bean for you watching this. So we're essentially giving it to you for free every day. We have to change that to some degree. Whereas if you want to watch it, you'll have to go to the website, for example, or something like that. There is a plan. I will tell you more about it as we get closer to the end of the month. There will still be a link every single day on Facebook and Twitter for you to listen to it as you are doing right now, because we figure most people are listening, not watching anyway. So please do support us in the way we're going to change it. We'll tell you all about it when it gets closer to the time at the end of the month. All right. Thank you very much and have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, same time.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.